Welcome to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Happy First Responders Day.
Mm.
Yep, that's a thing. And that's a good lead-in to asking you to support our cause. We are raising money for Allina Health's Caring for Caregivers Fund.
Right.
It's
right.
A good day to give back.
Yes, for those for first responders out there.
Absolutely. So you can do that by going to mytalk1071.com. Follow the prompts. You can also see our video. We are broadcasting and also on Zoom.
Well, no. Yeah. You don't join us on Zoom. You can go to... But you can go to our MyTalk1071. Yeah. Yeah, go to our the Project Down and Dirty page, and that is the only place that you can see our live broadcast. If you go to Facebook, you're an idiot. We're not.
Oh,
we're trying to like a coach would in a locker room. You know,
no
good pieces of trash.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, sports. But anyway, yeah, just go to our website and you can watch along. Donna, was wondering. You know, Dawn, when someone comes into work and you're like, so you got an interview today or what? Mm. It looks like they're taking a long lunch and they're going to go meet with 3M.
Mm-hmm. 3M.
It feels like she might be interviewing somewhere today. Really nice blasé, a nice white blazer.
Thank you.
Oh, she's got to be on camera. She put some effort in there.
Put some effort in, yeah. I was very impressed.
Took
cool looking jacket.
Shower this morning. Thanks, Steve.
This would be a great kind of outfit. Like on TV, like the next time you you're always like, oh, I don't think you're going to, I asked you to co-host Twin Cities Live, and then you're like, now I got to worry about what to wear. This is like a really cool outfit for TV.
Thanks. Okay.
Store it away.
I'll do it.
All right.
I have a lot of blazers.
Yeah. Are you got a lot of blazers?
Yeah. I used to really, really like blazers.
I used to wear them a lot too.
Yeah. Like I don't know, in the late 90s, really.
Yeah.
When I did, it was just a good, clean, classic look.
With some jeans.
Yeah. Maybe some boots, some heels.
That's right, girl.
Okay.
Girl time.
Sneakers.
Get out of here, Steve.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Steve.
Don't forget your brassieres.
Steve, you need to behave today.
You're
very naughty yesterday on our first day of recording.
I actually wrote notes so that I'd remember for our reunion show.
What are you talking? We were working the whole day. We were putting in some time.
You were making noises. You were. You don't even know this, Dawn. He's FaceTiming me while.
Hey.
Whilst.
Wait a minute.
While.
We were in a holding.
While we were recording.
We were in a holding pattern.
All right.
I couldn't see your face. They have very high cubicles. Our temporary broadcasting situation, doesn't this make you want to beat up the people in sales? So we're in there. We've taken over their sales room.
Yeah.
We work in, and I want to put this the best way, like a really shabby chic dungeon. And that's where the MyTalk studios are. Imagine if 40 years ago, there was a concerted commitment to not updating the aesthetic appeal.
Right.
That's where we are.
Right.
Across
wow, you really put that in a very politically correct, safe way.
Really? Because as I was saying it, I thought, I bet you if management's listening, they don't like this right now. But across the hall, where we're broadcasting Project Down and Dirty, where we're doing the recording of War of the Worlds, and it's really fun.
It's bright and shiny and colorful and modern.
Oh, my goodness.
Their desks rise and lower.
Yeah.
At the push of a button. You want to stand up? It goes up. So why I mention that is I FaceTimed you, Donna, because their cubicle blocks are very high, and I couldn't see you, and I was nervous.
What about the Zoom you were supposed to be on?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
remember, you could see it through Zoom.
Right, but there's something more intimate about FaceTime, right? It's like, hey, I've got a question for you. I was just trying to get her to
say things like this. While our director is trying to, the sound people are trying to get set up for the next recording session. Mm-hmm. He's like, Donna, can I borrow $500?
Hey, that was off the record.
And she goes, no. And he goes, I'll need it all in nickels. And then Jess is like, stand by for recording. Stand by.
But they don't even care. Do you notice that they
don't care?
Don't react to us at all.
We're which like I like.
Cracking jokes and stuff. And then, what is this noise, Dawn?
Well, that's
for
their audio. Yeah. They're syncing like a clapper. Whenever you're looking at audio, you match it up with video by the sound of when you do that sound, it makes a big spike and you can see where to start.
Yeah,
because, I did not know that.
Because Pat is running around and he's turning different cameras to record at different times. And then he runs back down to the makeshift control room that's now in an old conference room. And so, yeah, that clap makes sure that when they edit it, they can just go for the clap, which will be
that's
a big...
That's the purpose, of, of a clapper in movies that have, they put that up to the camera.
To match
and
the
they
audio.
Go clap with it that matches.
Okay. I thought it was just a... Yeah, I guess I knew it was a marker, but are they actually using anything that says... Project Down and Dirty, you know, chalk.
This is just so that when you edit it, then you can look and there's a video file and then there will be an audio file right below it and it will have a really like an earthquake spike.
Yep. So you can just find it real quick and then go, that's where it starts.
By the way, you guys, first of all, I'll try to do better today. I'm with you all day, by the way. No TV. I'm taking TV off today.
Oh.
So I'm all radio today.
Oh.
You guys were accusing me because there is zero proof. You both accused me of making mouth sounds.
You did it
in the microphone.
You were.
If you're watching us right now in our broadcast here, that you can go to our website and see us. I'm going to do a visual here. So Steve was doing that awful sound that I won't recreate. It's like eating a banana. It's like a chimp eating a banana.
Yeah.
Okay. Chimp. Okay. Or if you give a dog a banana, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
The sound we all hate. So he would do it, and I would go, no.
It was great.
Okay? And I would, and then he would smile.
The great thing was.
And then he would hold his papers up.
Yeah, just right
above
over my mouth.
His mouth.
So no one could see me.
He was still doing it.
What was great was I would do it, and then I would just sort of pull up a paper, and then I would cover my, and I would watch the Zoom. You two is who I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I just offered it, and I won't do it.
Offered it?
What do you mean you were watching YouTube?
Zoom. YouTube on Zoom.
Yeah, he would see our
reactions. Grandma, keep up today. We got a long day together, all right?
I was watching YouTube.
No.
And I'm like, why were you watching YouTube?
No, I wasn't watching YouTube.
No, he's watching the Zoom.
And then I would wait to see your reaction, which is great. Because usually if I do it from my home closet, I don't get to see the disdain from you both. But Dawn's eyes would get really big. She went full mom mode, and she would point at me like, hey. See you.
No.
Zip it. By the way, I posted a video on TikTok last night, my fifth ever video on TikTok.
Oh, how'd it do?
Not great, but it's a tutorial because TikTok does tutorials, and it's how to use a spoon.
Oh.
So I break it down into three easy steps. I also posted it on my Instagram at KSTP Steve. But if you're on TikTok, I'm Steve from Minnesota.
Doesn't even react. It's a tutorial on how to use a spoon.
I think it's because we had a 3-hour show yesterday, and then we had more of the Steve show during the recording. So,
and then did you rush home and watch Twin Cities Live?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Actually, I slept solidly from 4 to 6.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I think it was either Lori who described Steve like at Project Down and Dirty when he wouldn't get off the stage.
Hey,
as a little, he's like the little kid who's singing, and the more he gets like a reaction, the more he
here's
keeps
another
performing.
One. Hello, my darling. Hello.
Yeah, I like, described okay, go him to as bed. A kid in puberty who is what? Doing a lot of weird, gawky things, and he's got so much puberty energy, but he never grew out of it. He's like always 13.
Am I still pubescent?
Kind of, with this like I got all this stuff going on. Compliment we need to talk
accepted.
To your mom and see what kind of kid you were.
No, we can't put Jane on the air. She's
probably listening right now. Jane, will you give us a call? 651-641-1071.
I think she's getting more politically incorrect as time goes on.
We need to know how he was as a kid.
Yes, for sure. We got to go, but we're going to come back, okay? Please donate at mytalk1071.com for Alina Health's Caring for Caregivers Fund. We want to raise a lot of money for those guys. So whatever you got $5, you got $10, you got $20, you got $100, whatever.
Put it to work.
We'll take it, but we're going to have some things that make us go, huh, when we come right back on My Talk 1071. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Thank you for listening to My Talk 1071, Everything Entertainment with Donna and Steve.
Things that make you go, okay. The Cliff's Notes version of the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah.
Get this. Actually outsells the actual book. Almost 4-1.
Oh, no.
Almost 4-1.
Oh, no. That's a good story.
I've never read the Scarlet Letter.
Oh.
It has to do with the badge of shame, the red A, right?
Yeah. For adultery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for adultery.
Yep. I think Demi Moore starred in the movie version of The Scarlet Letter. It's really good.
Demi.
Okay. That is Demi, by the way.
Is it Demi?
Demi. Or Demi. No, but he said it backwards.
Oh, I thought he said Demi.
No, I just said Demi.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said
Demi. How about the restaurant? Gavin Kaysen's restaurant. That's called Demi? That's called Demi, not Demi.
And Demi is short for Demetria, which is why it's Demi.
Demi Moore?
Yeah.
Demetria Moore?
Yeah.
Good. The word gymnasium, speaking of origins, comes from the Greek word gymnasine, which literally translates to, any guesses? Do you know? Gymnasine, the Greek word.
Basketball court.
No, literally translates to exercise naked. Now, we'll take
here
60.
Here comes trouble.
Oh, Lord, who's just, oh, no.
Oh, no, she's here.
If she wants to talk on a microphone, she can.
Oh, does she?
Well, I just need Donna for a scene.
Oh, I got to go.
Oh, Donna, you got to go.
Oh, I forgot how to use my voice, though.
Don't leave me. Don't leave me with that.
Yeah, no, Don. Don, I got some, no, Don. I got some good stuff for us. I was going to say, let's take a minute now to discuss which exercise move, if gymnasium, the Greek word, actually translates to exercise naked, what would be the worst exercise move to have to do naked?
Burpees
is a good one. So everyone else at the gym is clothed, and you have to do one move, 10 reps, naked.
I would say squats. Deep squats.
Deep, yeah, because you know.
Because you have to put your butt out in order to do it properly.
And then your belly comes out.
Yeah, so it's like a cow underneath. Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Burpees is tough.
Can I wear a weight belt at least?
Nope.
Or a wheat belt.
Or just made of wheat.
A belt made of wheat.
No, you can't wear anything. It's just that.
Okay, squats, I would go squats. Yeah, or the rowing machine is pretty bad because your legs have to kind of go out. You know,
that's a great one. The rowing machine is terrible because you start in a hunch.
Yeah, you start in a hunch and your knees have to, they're not like perfectly up. You couldn't conceal.
They're bowed out like a butterfly.
They're bowed out. So every time you'd pull in, hello, Frisco.
Yeah, like the Stairmaster's fine. The elliptical, you could even a jumping jack is okay.
Yeah, because you're moving so fast. You're like, whoa, what is that? You know?
Yeah, rows are bad. Deadlifts aren't great.
No.
They're not good. Because, again, when you hunch over,
yeah,
everything is just hanging down.
Yeah.
I don't need anything draping on the floor.
Let's see what else. No, that's it, man. Those anything.
A rowing machine might be the win.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one. You're going to like this, Don. Okay. Do you like Hall & Oates?
Oh, I love them. I actually went to a concert at Excel.
Oh, well, how about this? Rich Girl by Hall & Oates wasn't actually about a girl. It was about a guy named Victor Walker who came from a rich family in Chicago. But Daryl Hall thought that the title Rich Girl sounded better than Rich Guy. You're a rich guy.
Oh, yeah. Rich Girl is way better.
Huh. The Vikings.
Donna just came in. I was encouraged that she might be coming back, but she just came to get her headphones.
No. Hey, this is just me and you now. For the rest of the show, do you want to talk about more naked exercise moves or move on to this? The Vikings, as not the Minnesota Vikings, actual Vikings, believed that in heaven, there was a giant goat whose udders provided an unlimited supply of beer.
No. Is that true?
Don't you dare.
Are these all true or
some
of them false?
No, these are all true. This isn't yes or yes. These are all true.
Okay. All right, I accept that.
Did I tell you my idea? I mentioned it briefly in passing the other day, but I thought of this when I was a kid. You would sell utterly good milk.
Oh, yeah, we started to talk about this and then the music cut us off.
Yes, well, fortunately, we have a minute.
Yeah.
Utterly good milk. So it's a milk carton, like a carton that you would get at school. Mm-hmm. You could open it up top, but it was underneath, on the undercarriage of the flat bottom of the milk, was an extractable udder.
Extractable.
Like, so you could pull it down.
Oh.
So it comes down, and then you could just siphon the milk. You could just drink it from the udder. You don't think 12-year-olds would want to suck milk out of an udder?
They would.
I would.
They would also take it because my mom is the head lunch lady at a school. She would tell you, Mary would tell you, that they would then take it and squirt it at other kids.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what I would intend my product to be used for.
No.
I just want kids to be more in touch with farm life, where milk comes from.
Yeah.
It will
also be unpasteurized in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're going to toughen up their guts, these kids.
Yeah.
These little ninnies. I've long wanted to, I've said this before, two sensations I wish I could have experienced are feeling a baby kick inside of my womb. What must that be like?
Like a bad enchilada. Yeah.
And then, what would it be like to breastfeed a child? To feel a child, like if my nipple had milk in it right now. I cannot imagine a child crying, coming to me and saying, can I have what's in there? That must be this magical experience.
I don't know because I didn't do it. But, yes.
My problem is, first of all, no milk. Yeah. Second of all, I have very sensitive nipples.
I can't wait to tell Donna what you made me talk about. While she was gone. You have very sensitive nipples. Okay,
very
I'll mark
sensitive.
That down.
And they chomp. Those little kids, they chomp on it, too.
Yeah, when they
hard gum lines.
Teeth, my sisters would get so mad at my niece and nephew.
Yeah. Well, that was a quality conversation.
That's wonderful. You know what? We're going to talk to, let's see, Lisa from Crescent Tide Cremation coming up. She's one of our matching sponsors
wonderful.
For Project Down and Dirty next.
Well, in something that would only happen during Project Down and Dirty, Donna Valentine just left mid-show, walked out of the studio.
Yeah, she was pulled away.
Our boss came in and explained to me. She said we had to take her away because we needed help making alien sounds.
Okay.
We needed four people, and she's the fourth. And so this is for our Project Down and Dirty War of the Worlds, our classic radio drama that we are doing this year, a comedic retelling of War of the Worlds. So Donna's actually down making alien sounds as we speak. The whole point of Project Down and Dirty is that we can raise some money. And this year, what we're trying to do is raise money for charities that are involved in COVID-19 relief, folks who are fighting the good fight for us. And what's really cool is that you, the My Talkers, are donating. Continue to do that. Go to mytalk1071.com and donate. Any amount helps, especially when we've got matching sponsors like we do in Crescent Tide. Our buddy Lisa from Crescent Tide Cremation Services joins us now. Lisa, I bet you thought that you were going to talk to Donna Valentine too. Hearing now that she has been pulled away to make alien sounds, how do you feel about that?
Well, I listen to your guys' show all the time, I'm not surprised, but I do appreciate, as a listener and a mother, coming in after Steve's breastfeeding talk.
Yes!
That was a good lead-in, I think.
Can I ask, I don't want to be too forward, but did you ever breastfeed a child?
Two. I have a 6 and a 7-year-old, so.
So you can understand my awe of, like, seeing my wife do that with our kids and thinking, what must that be like to actually know there's food inside of my body and you're going to come and siphon it out of me?
I can't understand, yes.
Okay. All right.
It's okay. You don't need to do that. You don't need to understand.
Yeah. I'm not one to be understood. Just observed at this point. Well, Lisa, thank you so much, first of all, for what you are doing in terms of matching sponsors so that we can raise a lot of money for four really, really great charities. Let's talk about the world of your business at Crescent Tide Cremation. COVID-19, it's been weird. It has impacted a lot of businesses in a lot of interesting ways, though some more than others. How has it impacted your business?
Sure. Well, so kind of the premise of our business, even, you know, just when my husband and I started it 10 years ago, was just to make a simpler, lower cost option for people, that everybody goes through this, you know, before COVID, during, after.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of just wanted to create an option for people that maybe wanted to do things simple or didn't want to spend a lot of money. We kind of just came up with a streamlined way of working with families going through this time. And so the going through COVID has, you know, people don't have as many options as to what they can do as far as large gatherings, services, things like that.
Yes.
So a lot of people, more people, I think, have found our business as just, you know, we provide a service that people can't do on their own. They have to have it done no matter what's going on. So, right. You know, we can provide the cremation service that needs to be done, maybe at a more affordable option. And then now as things are kind of opening up a little bit more kind of back and forth, you know, they can start doing services and things, and with or without our involvement, they're able to do that. So our business was kind of already structured in a way that it was easy to transition into doing things remotely, mm-hmm. email, stuff like that. So it's, you know, kind of been easy for us. Of course, you know, a lot more families are having to deal with a lot more tragic situations that we wouldn't have foreseen, but you know, we're, you know, just trying to be here to help as many people as we can through it.
You know, when you lose a loved one, that is stress enough. That is sadness enough. However, when people then realize, when they look at a traditional funeral and then they realize, oh my gosh, now I'm dealing with this. I'm actively in the middle of grief and I have to figure out this financial situation as to how we can properly say goodbye to them. I can only imagine the stress. You deal with people who are heartbroken. That's who your clientele is. That being said, do you see a little bit of the weight lift whenever they realize there is an alternative through Crescent Tide that allows them to say goodbye in a way that, frankly, isn't as much of an imposing financial burden, which, by the way, the person whose life was lost would not have wanted it to be in the first place?
Right. Yep. That's usually the case. And yes, we do see, you know, when people do see the total, which, you know, is a big part of this, is that's kind of the thing, is I have to plan this. It's a lot of money. We do see that burden lift a lot. And that's, you know, really our goal. My husband and I would not have made it in life as salespeople. We don't believe in trying to sell people things they don't need. So that's kind of one of our core, I don't know, goals or missions when starting this company, was we're very transparent and straightforward. We're not going to just try to push things on you that you don't need just because you're in a vulnerable situation. So we really just try to do that, walk people through what needs to be walked through without pressuring them, just to try to help make this part of the process as easy as possible, because it's a situation that's never easy in any way.
No kidding. Right. You know, Donna would have asked this had she not been asked to step away and make alien sounds as a part of our Project Down and Dirty Classic radio drama. She's had to put a pet down before. I think a lot of people have. Do you offer cremation services for pets as well?
Yeah, we get this question a lot. We do not. You have to have different licenses and things to do that. Okay. We have sold urns to people for pets, so that's something we can offer, but we are not able to do that service for pets.
Let me ask this too. Boy, so peculiar. Death is the ultimate conversation topic that you don't want to talk about, although when you suddenly have to, as I mentioned, you're in the midst of all of this grief. When is the best time for someone to reach out about your services, especially if you have a loved one who, you know, perhaps is older, is battling a disease, and you've sort of figured out the end might be coming within some specific time frame? Do you wait until the person passes to call, or can you add this into your pre-planning?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah. A really short answer is, you know, either way, if somebody calls us at the time and they've never spoken with us before, we'll go from there. But we do offer, you know, you can prepay and pre-plan way in advance, like, you know, people in their 50s, 60s for themselves that want to just get things set up, get some prices locked in, just to kind of take a burden off of kids. A lot of times people come in and do that after they've dealt with a loss of a parent.
Right.
Or, yeah, if you are in a situation where you have somebody just entering the final stages, hospice care, you know, can always reach out to us. We'll answer any questions you have. We can have information on file just to kind of save some steps and decisions at the time. So, you know, really anytime we can be contacted, and then just kind of depending on where it is in the process might determine what we can do.
That's really good to hear. She is our new best friend, Lisa, from Crescent Tide Cremation Services. Hey, Lisa, two things, really. Thank you for being a matching sponsor during Project Down and Dirty. This is huge that you are ponying up cash so that we can help to raise a lot of cash for these charities who are involved in helping our frontline workers in fighting COVID-19 and its impact in all sorts of ways on our community. So thank you for that. And also thank you for the line of work that you and your husband chose to get into. There's not much that's sexy about it, but it is critically important for so many families. So the fact that you have made this your work and you're helping families walk through a time of loss in a really dignified way, and also a way that's financially approachable and doesn't add even more burden to them in a time of loss, is huge. So thanks for the work that you're doing. Thank you for ponying up some cash to be a matching sponsor. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you guys. Glad I can do it. And can I just say a quick hello to my kids, Abby and Claire?
Wait, what are their names again?
All right. Abby and Claire.
Abby and Claire. And they're six and seven. Did you say they're six and seven? Is that right?
Six and seven.
All right. Don't let them listen to the first part as I was talking about how children get their nourishment. Maybe leave that out. But hey, Abby and Claire, have a fantastic day. Lisa from Crescent Tide Cremation Services, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. And shout out to our matching sponsors. They're really stepping up and helping us kick the total up. Don't forget, you can donate right now. It is Project Down and Dirty. If you're just now joining, haven't been listening earlier this week, that is okay. Still plenty of time for you to get involved. Go to mytalk1071.com. And it's easy for you to click a donate button. And any amount helps. Sometimes you might be thinking, you got an extra $5 on you? Put it to work right now. You got an extra 10 or 20, maybe more? Put it to work right now, because especially with matching sponsors that we have, like with Crescent Tide, those numbers go up. You put down 10, that turns into 20. You put down 100, that turns into 200. So let's make sure that we can exercise the full match that we have got there.
And I'd like to give a shout out to some people who just donated during that segment.
All right.
Yeah. Let's talk about Stacy Nugent. She gave $50. Thank you, Stacy.
Yes.
Jason Haskell gave $26.
Nice.
We have Karen Mullery. She gave $25 just seconds ago.
Oh, fantastic.
Our total right now is $2,321. What do you want to say we get it up to by the end of the show, Steve?
Our total right now is $2,321.
Yeah.
You feel like 4,000? Does that feel like the right number?
That's exactly what I was thinking. You just did a mind meld with me.
See? All right. So can we get to 4,000 by the time we go off the air today at 12 noon? If you're thinking about it and thinking maybe I'll do it later, just do it right now.
Yes.
If you've got your phone in your hand and you're not driving, do it right now. It's going to make a huge impact. And guess what? Every time you give, never do you regret giving, right?
Never.
So just give, just really help out the charities who are helping us fight COVID-19 all around our community. When we return, of course, I mentioned that I posted my fifth TikTok video today. I believe it has 40 views. And it's a tutorial on how to use a spoon. There's another thing, though, that you shouldn't do on TikTok right now, and it has to do with Halloween, dressing in costume, and parents out there, your kids might be seeing this TikTok video and then trying this, you don't want them to do it. I'll explain what you need to make sure they avoid on TikTok. That's coming up next on My Talk. Welcome back. It's the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Smack dab in the middle of Project Down and Dirty, classic radio drama. You can still get your tickets for Project Down and Dirty if you would like to see the world premiere of our comedic retelling of War of the Worlds. You can do that. It's happening this Friday at 7 p.m. Tickets just $10.
Yeah.
So be sure and snatch those up while you can. Donna Valentine will be joining us. She is actually making alien sounds down the hall.
Very important.
And later I hear they'll ask her to help with Project Down and Dirty. she will be coming back and we'll figure out what. I can't wait to hear what noise.
You remember Foley artist? She made that noise with that big poosh ball thing.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it was like an alien footstep sound thing that she was doing.
Oh,
remember
so
that?
Yeah, so you think that Donna is holding something, not going like meow meow meow. I thought she was making an alien mouth noise.
No, maybe she is. Maybe she's doing both. I hope so.
Okay, well, we'll get the full rundown from her when she comes back. In the meantime, we'll do this.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh? Time for If You See Something, Say Something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
TikTok. TikTok teaches kids to do things
that they shouldn't.
Some things are good. Some things are not as good. So there is a trend right now on TikTok where kids are essentially like super gluing vampire teeth into their mouth for Halloween.
No.
The problem with vampire teeth is they always fall out, right? They're always sort of clunky, especially those plastic ones, and you're like, trick or treat, doesn't work as well. So they say the workaround for that is to super glue it. Let me just be clear, kids, if you're listening, don't do this. This is very bad. They say that it could technically poison you.
Of course.
It could also cause potential, like, permanent damage to your teeth.
Right, because it's going to remove the enamel when you remove the super glue.
And if that super glue, imagine you put super glue inside of the vampire teeth and then you swish it up into your teeth.
Yeah.
That glue then could spill over up onto your gums, which could damage your gum tissue when that comes off. You could even lose teeth because of it.
It's just awful all around. Don't do that. Oh my God.
Now let's set aside the fact that it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea from like a personal health perspective.
Right.
But it really feels like it would work, though. Like, I like that someone thought this is a problem and we need to solve it. They didn't come up with the right solution.
You know what I suggest?
Mm.
How about some of that denture glue?
You know, Fixident or something. Yeah. Polyden or whatever.
Yeah.
Polygrip. So that the teeth don't come out on the apple.
Mm-hmm.
Can you eat an apple if you have false teeth?
Oh, I think so.
Okay, do you? I don't
questions
know.
That Steve asked while Donna is gone.
I know. We should ask her. She's had her. How long she had hers in for?
Oh, my God, Steve.
My Uncle Wally had false teeth from the time he was in his 20s.
Okay.
And then he would just click them out randomly at dinner just to try to like make a kid laugh.
Okay.
He also had a California raisin stuffed animal that he would belt into the back of his convertible. He's doing fine. Surprisingly, not in prison. So we're pretty pumped about that. Hey, I want to mention something really cool. This school superintendent who just really said what we needed to. I've heard this rumor, and I don't know that it's happening at our school district, but I've heard that some districts are not doing snow days this year.
What? Really?
And the reason is...
How's that possible?
Well, you think everybody's set up for distance learning now.
Okay.
And so then they're like, well, if we're not going to come in because of snow, then that's okay. We can still do class. Your Zoom starts at 8 or whatever. There is a superintendent. I'm not sure if I know where this person is from. I don't think that it's from here in Minnesota. But here is what this person... They said, I absolutely love this from our school district superintendent. I don't know why. I don't know what this says about me, the Twitter user David Q Teacher says, but this made me almost cry. Here's what the superintendent wrote.
Okay.
We have decided that few childhood acts remain unchanged due to COVID-19, and we will maintain the hope of children by calling actual snow days due to inclement weather. Snow days are chances for on-site learners and virtual learners to just be kids by playing in the snow, baking cookies, reading books, and watching a good movie. These are times for memory making, and we believe these types of opportunities should remain intact.
Oh, boy.
Come on. Doesn't that make you want to vote for that person?
I guess so, but from my experience... with my boyfriend's kids and pretty much everyone I've talked to whose kids are doing distance learning, it's like 2 hours a day, if that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I think...
like middle schoolers, my boyfriend's kid, he did 40 minutes yesterday, then he was done with school. So they have plenty of time to go play out in the snow.
That's a fair point.
Am I being too harsh with this?
No, you're making
like
a fair
kids
point.
Kids are going to be falling behind.
Well, first of all, they're already the COVID generation. They'll already be walking with an intellectual limp for a generation. We're okay with that now.
God.
How do I
use this sled?
It won't take me uphill, Mom.
Lord, what's going on?
You got to go downhill, you dumb. All right. Oh, Lord in heaven. They're going to be living with us for a while. No, but you're right. Kids can really plow through it. Some schools change that because when the distance learning came into effect, back in March, that was the case. Kids were just plowing through their work.
Okay.
I talked to a guy who's, I won't mention the district, but he had a kindergartner who was just starting class this fall, and they had like various Zoom check-ins throughout the day. So like from 8 a.m. until like 2 for a kindergartner that's at home, like a kindergarten. And so I think some districts have tried to stretch out the learning throughout the day so that it's not just one cram session. But you are right. Although, even if a kid can get through it in 2 hours, let's just go back to being like 9 or 10.
Okay.
And I get it. Distance learning, you're right. It's a pretty cush gig, I think, for most kids.
He's trying to sell this to me, you guys.
And I'm going to sell it to you. Here's how.
The inner child in Steve Patterson that's never left.
That has never left and never will. The feeling of anticipation of if when I wake up, I look outside and see snow on the ground, knowing then the next course of action is to run downstairs, turn on the news, and wait to see your school come across the bottom.
The scroll, yeah.
That feeling, even if you're just dodging a couple hours of work, that feeling of knowing that you're off that day. It's the only objective today is play in the snow. The anticipation the night before, the payoff the day of. That's what's special about it.
All right, you sold me on it.
Didn't.
It's fine.
Quickly, we have a little time.
Yeah.
Tell me about what Lenny Kravitz is up to, what he is or isn't doing.
Okay, so Lenny Kravitz was supposed to do a movie and play the role of Marvin Gaye.
Oh.
Okay? And they could probably just do an entire movie about people who were supposed to play Marvin Gaye who haven't. So basically, he was attached to the project, and he went so far as to go to his hometown. He went as far as to go to his home that he lived in, to the church where he sang. He went to Marvin Gaye's apartment, the gym where he trained for boxing. I mean, extensively. He
deep research.
Did all of this. And then he says, a year later, that he decided that it just wasn't for him. There was a feeling that he got.
Really?
That he just felt like he wasn't right for it.
Do you think he was like rehearsing and just realized, like, I'm not cutting it?
Well, see, I can't think of Lenny Kravitz not being confident. I thought about that, too.
Yeah.
Like, did he just feel like he was in over his head, like somebody who signs up to do Hamlet, and they're like, I can't do this, you know? But Lenny Kravitz, you know, everybody has moments of insecurity. Or was there something else, Steve, that had to do with the way the direction was going?
Oh,
he didn't like the way it was
script.
And I think that's what we don't hear is he's trying to be nice, but maybe he just wasn't confident about the direction of the movie
that
and being
be
attached
likely.
To it.
All right, there you go. Lenny Kravitz out as Marvin Gaye. I'm going to see if I can find Donna. We'll see if she returns.
Okay.
Project Down and Dirty, our Donna and Steve show coming up next.